I want to welcome you to our service this morning. My heart is full. I don't know if you caught what was going on here, but Kent read a verse that said, seeking your face, seek your face. The last song was, I'm seeking your face, and listening to your voice. I'm sure you've been listening to my sermons and you knew where I was at, right? The title of my message this morning is Seeking Your Face. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Before I get started, Ken, it's great to have you here this morning. Tim and Rachel, wow, it's great to have you here too. It's just great to be with old friends and to have you here this morning. Matthew 7, 7 to 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Seeking his face, that's something that can get lost really quick in the shuffle of everyday life. I believe God has so much more for us than just the kingdom of this earth. He wants us to have the benefits of the kingdom of heaven while we're on this earth. This study in the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know if you're getting a picture of what the kingdom of heaven really looks like here on this earth, but it is what it is. There's things in this that are hard, yet incredibly rewarding. They can only come when we seek his face. Many of you, or at least some of you, were at Joy and Javen's wedding. So I got a really clear word picture about what seeking his face means. And it was a unique setting. It was in a barn. You weren't standing up front and you didn't see my position. But as I looked out the back, it was really bright out the back. And when John and Joy stepped inside the barn, I could barely see their faces. I knew they were there, but I could barely see their faces. But as they continued to walk forward, they got to about 25 yards away, and I caught Joy's face. She wasn't looking at her dad. She wasn't looking at the 300 people that were there. She was seeking his face. And it was pretty cool to watch. And as they got closer, the smile just was beaming, seeking his face. I think that's a true word picture of what seeking his face really means. It's not distracted by circumstances around you. It's not distracted by your family even. It is seeking the face of God. And just when you think about, okay, so Joy and Javen left the wedding and started on their honeymoon. I think they're flying to Jamaica. The wedded bliss that they're feeling right now can be ours in Christ. And that's, I think, when God calls the church the bride of Christ, I think the parallels are very real. Very real. Because when God calls his bride the church, it gives him tremendous satisfaction to see him seeking his face. Now, I didn't get to see your perspective. You got to see Javen's face. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that Javen was seeking a face as well. And as Joy came closer, I'm sure Javen had a smile on his face. I can say that with extreme confidence, even though I did not see Javen's face. Help me out. Am I correct? Yeah. That's pretty awesome. That's what seeking your face really is. So let's look at these two verses. It's a short passage of scripture, but I think there's a lot in it for each one of us. Ask and it will be given to you. asking. It's our earnest plea. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God." Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable riches of God." You know, we get into this, we hear a lot about, man, I just want to know more about God. And that's really good. But God, you can't really get more of God. God gets more of you. God doesn't change. He's as big now if you're on the mountaintop of your spiritual life or in the valley of despair in your spiritual life. God's still as big as he ever was. God just wants a little bit more of you rather than us getting more of God. When we ask God to act, that's what really prayer is. Prayer is asking God to act on our behalf. You're asking God to take over a situation that is really out of your control. So, this passage of scripture, trust me, I'm not teaching a health and wealth gospel this morning, because you got to take these verses in their context. Nowhere in the Sermon on the Mount is God saying, "I want you to live some cushy life and be comfortable." But you have your Bibles, right? Open them up. I want you to scan over chapter 5, 6, and 7 real quick and think of the many things. Look at the many things in this chapter that maybe you struggle with or you wish you would be or you wish you would be doing. I would venture a guess, as you continue to look, that one of your biggest struggles is contained within this passage of Scripture, Matthew 5 through 7. The thing that you struggle the most with could be right in this passage. When we ask God for something, when we're asking him, This whole ask, seek, and knock, it's all the same thing. But there is a progression. Ken, I'm really glad you shared your story this morning, because you asked Melissa to take the child. But you continue to seek. And beyond seeking, you knocked. You invited God's presence in that situation. And what was the result? That door was opened. That's what we're talking about here. God doesn't want us to live away from his power. It's there for us. He wants us to have it. Just take it. But here's what we do. We pray and said, "Lord, I pray that you would bless me in this area," or "I pray that you would just," and that's where we leave it. And we forget the seeking and the knocking that has to happen in this whole progression. So what are we asking for? You know, in this passage of scripture in 5 through 7, it talks about things like, man, wouldn't it be great if God would take my life and he would make me really merciful? Wouldn't it be great if I would have a righteousness that outclasses the law? Wouldn't it be great if I would have grace to overcome my enemies? I think you spoke into that last week. Wouldn't it be great if I would not commit adultery in my heart? Wouldn't it be great If only I could overcome worry in my life. Wouldn't it be great if I'd be totally unashamed to share my faith on a personal level? The last sermon I preached was on judging. Wouldn't it be great if I wouldn't point the finger at somebody else? Wouldn't it be great if I would be a better father? A better husband? A better leader? I'm going to say my name here. Galen. It's there. He's not going to hold it back from you, Galen. All you have to do is ask. He wants to give it to you. But again, this asking is not just something that we feel obligated to do. It needs to be done with conviction and seeking after his faith. Which leads me to the next one. Seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Psalm 27:8 says, "Your face, Lord, do I seek." In our Sunday school, this whole seeking the Lord's face in a really difficult time was alluded to as well. You know, Cornelius was in a spot where he was a Gentile, and Peter was a devout Jewish Christian. And their worlds got rocked upside down, I'm telling you. It was a tough time. And you know, the seeking, it's not a luxurious option. It's really what being a Christian is about. You thought Christianity was coming to church here on Sunday morning. It is not. Christianity is found right in chapters 5 through 7. I don't know how to emphasize to you that the Sermon on the Mount is what God is calling us to do as Christians. It is not merely a suggestion. Sometimes I think we're falling way short of what the sermon means. What are we seeking? We're seeking his face and not his hand. Too many times we seek Christ's hand, like, "Lord, help me to do this." And we want action from God. And that's okay to pray for those things. It's okay to pray about our jobs. It's okay about providing support for our families. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we seek God's face, we're reaching into the heart of God to get to know him better. When Joy was walking down the aisle, there was a smile on her face, but there was an anticipation that they both felt about knowing each other better. That's the anticipation that we need to have as the bride of Christ. That's the anticipation and the love that we need to have for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to search without giving up. I'm sure that all of you have searched for God's face at one point. And at times, it may seem like God's face is not even there. I want to exhort you, continue on. He is there. I came across R.T. Kendall's book on the Sermon on the Mount. Came across 6 steps of seeking. And they all start with the letter D, so if you want to copy them down, that's fine. So there's 6 steps of seeking: duty, desire, decision, determination, discipline, and discovery. So when I look at this sequence, when I search for something, it can have different levels. Okay, so Cordell might come in and say he lost his wiffle ball in the alfalfa field, which you probably mowed over. it's my duty, okay? I'm going to go look for it, but if I can't find it in the first 5 minutes, next time I get to the store, I'll buy one, okay? It's sort of my duty as a father to go look for it, right? Duty is when you know in your heart what you should do, okay? That's pretty simple. So, duty. Then, seeking can become a desire. You know, there's other things that I've sought after or I searched for that had a little deeper meaning than a wiffle ball. Just came to my mind right now. You would think that this thing is replaceable, right? Well, last hunting season, I lost this phone. I don't know why I lose stuff, but I do on occasion. This phone was actually fell out of my pocket beside a stream, about 6 inches from a stream, and I couldn't find it. But we searched. We searched diligently that night. Evan had got himself a nice buck, and in the excitement of all, my phone fell out of my pocket. We took our four-wheelers back and forth, and we had lights off the side, and we were looking hard. We were calling it every 10 yards, and it was a mess. We couldn't find it. But the search continued. I went online, findyoursamsung.com or something like that. And if you can imagine this, this thing, I could pinpoint exactly where it was. I saw the stream it was beside, and I was actually 200 miles away, and I called my brother, and I said, my phone is right beside the creek where we gutted the deer. Sure enough, 6 inches from the stream, that's where my phone was. So I had a desire to find my phone. It's where there is a yearning to seek him. You know, that phone, I think I went even another step. I made a decision I was going to find this. That's the next step. When you stop delaying and you start acting. You know, guys, there may be something in your life right now. You know it's not right. You've been there. You've done that. You've struggled with it. I'm telling you, it's time to make a decision to start acting on it. The fourth step is a determination. You will not let things hinder you. Okay, back to my phone. So Evan was hindering me because he had to be home for a class the next morning. I would have loved to stay and look for my phone the next day, but he was hindering me, had to be at class. So I went home, but I still, even that outside hindrance didn't deter me from my search. I was determined to find my phone. The fifth thing is discipline. When you overcome any hindrance of keeping your promise. Discipline, I'm telling you, is not a bad thing. When you're disciplined and you're seeking after God's face with that discipline, that is the fifth step of seeking. And then the sixth step of seeking is discovery. I must say, my phone qualified for all six. The discovery was pretty incredible. First of all, when I discovered it beeping on my computer screen, that was pretty impressive, I thought. And then, when my nephew called me and said, I found your phone, that was pretty cool. It's just a phone. It has a lot of context in, but it's still just a phone. Imagine the discovery that you guys make when you're seeking and searching after God's face and what he wants for your life. The things that you're struggling with and you're searching for a way to get out of it. And God, and you do it. God gives you the power to do it. That discovery is an incredible feeling. much more than a cell phone discovery would ever be. The third thing in my sermon is knock and the door. Let me back up. I want to give you one more verse for seeking. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me and seek my face. It's a pretty awesome thing. It's a pretty awesome place to be. So the third thing again is knock and the door shall be open unto you. You're getting God's attention. It wakes one up. Psalm 44:23 says, awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. I think this is an interesting verse. Never mind that he says later, David says, you neither slumber nor sleep. So I'm not sure why he's yelling at him to wake up now. How many of you have ever done a fundraiser as a child? And you're going door to door selling subs or something like that. My kids, the majority of them, hate it. I can't say I enjoyed it when I was a teenager either. But you're going to a place and you see the door and there's nobody around and you know you got to knock. And I've heard it from my kids and I've probably used this excuse as well. There's nobody home, let's just go. But you got to get to the door and you got to knock. That hesitation is very real. I've had it, I've done door-to-door evangelism, and that was really difficult to knock on a stranger's door. So there's a hesitation even to ask God fervently and knock. Then there's some places you're coming to when you're selling subs. You know they're in there. The music's on. The lights are on. You know they're in there. You knock the first time and no answer. And of course, most kids want to make a beeline back for the car. And you say, why don't you knock again? And you knock a little louder. The persistent knocker might even knock a third time. Amazing that somebody might even come to the door and answer that third knock. Then we have the answered knock. I don't know how many of you love company, but I really enjoy company. And that doorbell rings or the knock sounds on my door. I'm like, who's here? I didn't even know anybody pulled in the driveway. And you open it up, just like I did the other day. There's Kent. Well, what do you know? It's Kent. It's awesome. It's great to see you guys. I think, Now think of a dating couple and a boyfriend comes and knocks on the door. There's anticipation there. And when that door is answered by his girlfriend, that's interesting how that all works. But there's a real anticipation there. I think, again, there's real parallels between a married or a dating, even a dating relationship, and then becoming married to what I'm talking about here this morning. There's an incredible anticipation. You know, a guy may ask a girl out, but they're not married yet. But they start searching for ways to impress this young woman. It may even be a car, which may or may not impress her. But he is searching for ways to get to her heart. And when he's searching, in the midst of his search, he finds things that do get to his girlfriend's heart. And then one of those days down the road, that young man may go ask her father if he can marry her. And he probably had to search a little bit for his phone number. But he'll come to that young woman and he'll ask the question, and I liken that to knocking. at her door. He'll ask the question, will you marry me? It's the same question God's asking us. Will you marry me? I don't know if you got what I'm saying, but I'm going to try and put this in an illustration in closing that at least the guys will understand. So women, bear with me. So these two verses take a lot of effort. So the only way I can get through to you maybe is with this illustration from the grocery store. Your wife has called you on the way home from work and asked you to stop at the grocery store to pick up a brownie mix. For some guys, this may not be difficult. For others, it could be extremely difficult. You really want to please your wife, so you start looking through the aisles. Can't seem to find the brownie mix. So you grab your phone, and you call your wife, and you ask her where, if she could help you think of what aisle the brownie mix would be in. And she gives you a suggestion, and you start looking all down aisle two. This side, that side, you can't find the brownie mix. So you obviously know that the brownie mix isn't in aisle two, so you go around to aisle three and start looking there. And you may even ask another shopper, could you help me find the brownie mix? And the lady says, I'm not sure, but I think it's in aisle two. So you go the whole way through aisle three and come back around this way, and you go through aisle two one more time, and you can't find the brownie mix. By this time, you're getting a little exasperated. So you still want to please your wife. You still want to get her what she wants because, I mean, this is for dessert for tonight, okay? So you go to the front desk. And as you approach the front desk, there's nobody there. And you're questioning in your mind, why don't they hire more people so they can actually man the customer service? And you're looking, and you see people in the back, and you're about ready to knock on the counter, and there's a bell there, and you ring the bell. And after 30 seconds, somebody comes out and says, can I help you? And you say, I'm looking for the brownie mix. And the lady says, it's in aisle two. And before you can protest and you can say it's not there, she says, here, I'll show you where it is. So you start out on this journey back to aisle two again. You round the corner, and the lady says, here it is. And the amazing thing is that in the 2 minutes that you were gone, some shelf stalker actually put 10 feet of cake and brownie mix on the shelves. You grab the brownie mix and you mutter something like this under your breath. I didn't know it was in a box and had a big picture on it. But you got the brownie mix and you take it home to your wife. And she makes a wonderful dessert. Now, don't leave the illustration cloud what I'm trying to say here. God wants so much more for our lives than just searching and asking without purpose. He has something way better than a brownie mix in mind for us. He wants us to live in victory. Just let me read some of these verses in these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. He wants to comfort you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. You are the salt of the earth. You have heard that it was said by people long ago, you shall not murder. But I tell you that anyone who hates his brother is in danger of the judgment. Talks about adultery. It talks about divorce. It talks about your word being your word. It talks about your love for your enemies. It talks about giving to the needy. It talks about not worrying. It talks about fasting. It talks about treasures in heaven. It talks about judging others. All you have to do is ask, seek, and knock. Our God's a good God. He wants to give it to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for just who you are and the bigness and just the kingdom of heaven that you have prepared for us for right now. And Lord, I pray that we would seek your face. Lord, I confess to you that I don't do that enough. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to seek your face and to knock at your doorstep. And I pray that you would open doors for myself and for this church, that we can speak into lives in a fresh way. And Lord, there's so many people need you. And I pray that you would knock on our hearts. You would tear down the walls that have been hindering us for so many years. And I pray that you would open our hearts to your love, and may we give it to others. Pray this in your name. Amen.